now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, welcome on into IUP Plus. This is our streaming show on News for Utah Plus, so we're glad that you found us. If you're watching us on YouTube, we would invite you to go on your smart TV, go to Apple TV, Roku, or Amazon Fire, search News for Utah Plus with the number 4, and find us there. We're happy to have you, though. This is going to be a big show today. We have a guest here who has never been here before, Gabby Finlayson. How are ya?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Okay, this is so cool because we have a rotating like set of panelists and hosts. Adam is part of it, but this is the first time we've ever had someone who is non in our group as part of the panel.
Oh,
so we're grateful.
Goodness. I'm honored to be the first guest.
You
it's
are
incredible.
You are the first, and I'm very excited to hear your take. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. Yeah, my name is Gabby Finlayson. I'm a senior partner at Elevate Strategies. We are a campaign consulting firm here in Utah. We're primarily for Democrats, progressives, some independents, and third parties. We do a lot of communication consulting for groups in Utah and around the country.
And Adam, you're an old regular.
Yep, I'm Adam Gardner. I'm a lobbyist, and I love everyone.
It's very good. And we're glad you're both here today. We're going to have a very civil but heated conversation. I'm excited for it. Oh, wait, Producer Peter's here, too. Hi, Producer Peter.
Of course. Hi, everybody.
It's good
Forgive
to
my
see
hair
you.
Misbehaving. Oh, it's... I appreciate
that
it.
That kind of looks a little bit.
I've
got a little
like sheep fur
going.
On top of there.
I don't know how to make it behave with the headset today.
You know what? We're just happy you're here.
Shave it off.
We don't care what you look like.
Or up my gel budget, right? It's one direction or the other.
I wish I could shave my head. I'm not gonna lie there. Do you know how much time it takes to like get hair the way you want it?
Yeah, we're all just jealous of Adam.
I know. We're all just jealous of Adam.
I was wearing a hat right before this. It doesn't matter.
I could save so much time in the day if I could just shave my head. Mm-hmm. All right, let's dive in, shall we? We are in day 2 of a government shutdown, which means we've got a lot to talk about. It feels very much like Republicans are blaming Democrats. Democrats are blaming Republicans here. Gabby, let me start with you. You're the guest. Guests go first. Talk to me about what you see in this government shutdown.
Yeah, I think this is, once again, the reason that everyone is frustrated with politics in general, right? Nothing is working. Everyone's blaming the other side, and everyone's more concerned about who's going to win politically or who's going to get the blame than they are to actually solve real problems. And at the end of the day, you know, Democrats have recently woken up and remembered that they have some actual power and responsibility to do something in the federal government, and I think it's a good moment for them to take a stand, not only because a lot of things are coming down from the White House that are not necessarily things that they or I agree with, but also they're not going to get a lot of other opportunities right now to have a bill that needs to be passed with 60 votes in the Senate and to try and make a stand on something.
Adam, what do you think is going on? Are Democrats seizing their moment here, or are they being unrealistic? Because some Republicans have said to me they're being unrealistic with their demands of extra spending for Medicaid that was cut from the Big Beautiful Bill, and then these tax subsidies, right, with Obamacare that they want to extend. What's going on in your mind?
Look, I think the biggest issue here is we need to remember that this is not some big budget bill. This is a must-pass stopgap spending bill. This is not a type of bill where you hang. This is not a Christmas tree bill, as we used to call them in the legislature. This is not something that you hang different ornaments or things that you want on this type of spending. This is simply a continuing resolution to continue current spending levels to keep the government open. I think it's inappropriate for either side to come with additional issues, additional spending. I think that's wrong, and I think it's not in the best interest of the American people. So if Democrats are coming to the table with an extra $1.5 trillion in spending, and they're talking about these Obamacare subsidies, those run out of money next year. This is not a problem that you have to solve right today. And you know what? It wouldn't matter anyway because Congress is going to wait till the last minute anyway because that's what they always do. But I think it's inappropriate for the Republicans to come to the table with additional spending as well. The whole point of this is to give us extra time to negotiate an actual budget, and that's what we need to focus on. So if either side is not budging on any of those issues, I think that's the real problem here.
So, Gabby, what do you think your side should do here? And do you agree with Adam that Democrats have made some demands? He's saying that's inappropriate. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult when a lot of these members of Congress and Republicans are lecturing Democrats on what is responsible spending or what's a serious plan when they just you know, added $3 trillion to the deficit.
Snap.
Passing,
sorry, Adam.
No, passing this, you know, this Trump's budget bill to essentially give government handouts to the ultra wealthy and to corporations. And then they're coming back to Democrats and saying, you're being unreasonable by saying that people that are already struggling should have to pay more for their health care. And when in reality, if we didn't have to bail out billionaires, we wouldn't have to have this problem.
Adam, is that what's happening here?
I remember, you know, I consider myself a middle-class person, and I saw benefits from the Trump tax cuts. I think, you know, I'm not a Trump guy. I'm not a Trump fan. But I certainly benefited from those, and all my friends that are middle-class or lower-middle-class benefited from that. So, yeah, a billionaire probably would benefit from that, too. I don't think it's bailing out anyone. I also want to make a distinction here. Something you said, Gabby, was that this bill, this budget bill.
Sorry, that was continuing resolution.
No. You were correct. You were correct. Mm-hmm. It was a budget bill that actually got passed mm-hmm. through regular order through the Congress. And so if that's what we're going to be talking about, then that's what we should be talking about. That's not what this is. A continuing resolution is just a continuation of current spending levels. Let's pass that. If we need to negotiate anything else, if we need to talk about healthcare or billionaire spending or tax cuts, let's talk about that during a regular order budget bill. But we were supposed to have this done October 1st, and we're nowhere closer.
Gabby, respond to that.
I was just gonna say, well, in reality, though, right, every single time Democrats have tried to actually have a bipartisan conversation about a policy issue that they want to bring forward, they are not negotiating with good faith actors in this situation, right? The Republicans are going to do whatever Trump tells them to do. He has no interest in negotiating with Democrats. He's made that quite clear. And so when is the opportunity for them to do that when every time they've tried to do that, it has been shut down immediately? This is the only real opportunity they have right now to try and make us not just a stand, but make a point that we should not be raising people's premiums. We should not be cutting their health care. And there's no opportunity to do that because everything that the Republicans do in Congress right now is dictated by the White House. And if the White House can't find the votes to get this done, that's not on the Democrats. That's on Donald Trump and his team.
This is bringing back a lot of memories from the Inflation Reduction Act, where Congress was just following the orders of the Biden administration. No Republicans voted for the bill. And again, that was a budget bill. We're talking about just a CR, mm-hmm. something that should be so easy for both sides. So I think if both sides are really serious about just giving ourselves a couple extra weeks or a month or two, then we need to not talk about new programs. We need to be serious, and both sides need to sit down and have a conversation about what an actual budget looks like and not mess with a continuing resolution, because people can't get some of their welfare checks. Military folks aren't getting paid. Military hospitals are shutting down a lot of services. So unless we're willing to have that conversation about not adding any extra spending, then I think the point is moot.
But I look forward to the Republicans coming back to the table to make that happen.
Oh, this is just so feisty. I love it. I'm just going to sit back and eat the popcorn while you two debate. I love it. I want to play this clip from Congressman Mike Kennedy, who was on my show Inside Utah Politics. Excuse me, that was not where he came, but he came to ABC 4 News to talk to us about the government shutdown on the day it happened. Adam, I think he's kind of making the same point you are. If it wants to play, it might not. Politics is all about compromise, right? What compromise would you like to see? Because, again, to your point, or to my point, rather, Republicans control every branch of government here. So why not make a deal with the Democrats?
If the Democrats had a serious proposal, for example, and you haven't even asked yet about the enhanced premium tax credits, and those are set to expire by the Democrats. The Democrats, once again, set those to expire at the end of this year. There is negotiable points associated with that. That seems to be their top line issue. But they haven't even brought a serious proposal to the table. They want $1.5 trillion more spending. And the Republicans, that's not even a proposal that's feasible. So at this point, if the Democrats came back and they want their enhanced premium tax credits, I'd like to see a glide path for those. I've talked to those in the industry. There is a way for us potentially to do this. But if you're going to be 180 degrees away from the 0 degrees that somebody else is at, and that's your proposal, it's just not going to work. So they need to come back with something reasonable. And I think there could be a negotiation.
So, Adam, Congressman Kennedy there just saying that the Democrats' proposal is unreasonable. Like you're saying, this is not the time to do this type of spending. But what responsibility do Republicans have here to negotiate this? To Gabby's point, she was saying, when else are we supposed to do this, right, in terms of Democrats? What is the Republicans' responsibility when they control all three chambers?
You're supposed to do this during a budget discussion. That's when it's supposed to happen. On a continuing resolution, you're supposed to keep the same amount of spending as you had before. So the answer should be zero additional spending. That's what a continuing resolution is. That's the very definition of continuing the spending. And so if you want to say, no, we want to add $1.5 trillion for 3 months of keeping the government open, that's an inappropriate discussion to have. It's really hard to negotiate with one side who is saying, we just want to increase spending like crazy. And I called out Republicans during the Big Beautiful Bill because they added $4 trillion to the debt. That was inappropriate because it went against everything that, as a Republican, we vote for. It's inappropriate then. It's inappropriate now.
Gabby, what do you think?
I don't necessarily disagree with Adam. I think that, you know, that is what should happen. That's what historically has happened. But there are many things that this administration and this Congress have been doing that are not normal, that are not typical, because we don't really have a normal process anymore with, you know, Donald Trump in the White House. And so, you know, I hear what you're saying, Adam, but even, you know, Congressman Kennedy said in that clip that he's willing to negotiate right now and have that conversation right now. But said it wasn't serious. And as a doctor, I would hope that, you know, the congressman would think that people having health care and being able to afford to live and being able to, you know, not have the government continue to be shut down because it's affecting a lot of people in very serious ways, as you said, Adam, that is serious. And I think having that discussion is important. And again, lecturing us about not having a $1.5 trillion when they just cut all these programs that people rely on and balloon the deficit, you know, that's, I also think that is not an appropriate conversation to be having right now.
Well, maybe he was right. Maybe it was inappropriate then for Democrats to let these tax credits expire.
Let's move on from this topic, shall we? Let's talk about another topic related to the government shutdown, and that is the administration has posted on several government agency websites specifically that the shutdown is the fault of the Democrats. In fact, in like, Adam, where did you see that post? It was on the FDA or something like that.
This was actually the Forest Service, the USDA. But it's on a bunch of them. And I'm just going to. Do you care if I read it?
Go.
It says the radical left Democrats shut down the government. This government website will be updated periodically. During the funding lapse for mission-critical functions, President Trump has made it clear he wants to keep the government open and support those who feed, fuel, and clothe the American people.
So it says
I see nothing. This is not.
It says that on a government agency website. Adam, go. What do you make of that?
Okay, so first of all, as a Republican, that's pretty wild to me. I remember a couple of things that happened during – I've lived through a few of these as a federal government employee. There was one during the Obama administration. I think it was 2013. They put up barricades outside of Washington's Mount Vernon and said, this is all closed off. And then Mount Vernon had to actually show up to work, and they said, the federal government doesn't control this. This is a private site. Get off our property.
Yeah.
And so both sides try to politicize the government shutdown. They would shut down the National Mall, even though it's just an open field. Like, what are you shutting down? Open air, which is crazy. But this is something that is pretty wild to put on a government website to actually be essentially campaigning. It's definitely propaganda. I recognize both sides use the bully pulpit and the propaganda when they have control of the machine here. But this is kind of a step too far to post this on government websites.
Gabby, what who is doing this worse, the Republicans or the Democrats?
Doing the shutdown worse or the propaganda?
The putting the stuff on the website.
This is the first time we've ever seen something like this happen during a government shutdown, to my understanding. I mean, I agree with Adam. This is straight up government propaganda. This is not something that we see in democracies. This is not something that we see from a normal administration, a normal president. I think it's completely inappropriate. I think it's out of control. I think it is definitely, you know, electioneering on federal tax dollars. And I don't think that we really see a lot of the same type of as public tactics as we've seen here. Not to say that that's a good thing to do when, you know, Democrats are in power and the Republicans shut down the government, but I think this is completely out of bounds.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Something you both agree on. Let's move forward, shall we? We have a local issue here in Utah that is really impacting us, and that is the redistricting process. We've had two public hearings at this point. Coming up on October 6th, there will be a final vote on one of these now six public maps, five from the Republicans, one from the Democrats, on which map will govern our new lines. Adam, let me start with you on this. The Utah Republican Party recently came out with an email endorsing Map C, saying, quote, that it's the only map that can stop the Democrats. Was that an appropriate email for the GOP to send?
Sure. Republicans can comment on any map after they're drawn, and it's a public process. The party can comment however they want. During the hearings that happened, you had some Democrat county party chairs actually call in and testify for the Democrat maps. This is a normal process. This is what should happen. Anyone can comment. Any liberal group, any progressive group, any party can comment once the maps are public. Where it would be inappropriate is if the party was actually using their data to craft these maps. That would be inappropriate. That is not what has happened here. I got that same email from my party to call your legislator and advocate for Map C. Well within their right to do. They're willing. They can educate whoever they want to. The Democratic Party can educate whoever they want to. Not inappropriate at all.
So, Gabby, do you find it inappropriate? Because like Adam's saying, they're a constituent just like anyone else.
I think it is appropriate. I don't know if it was the smartest thing to do, is what I will say. I think absolutely political parties have total leeway to say what they want to say. But I think the problem here comes in that to act like the legislators on the committee, the Republican legislators from day one, were not leaning towards Map C, and to also act like they don't hear the things that the Republican Party is saying, that they're not influenced by the Republican Party's rhetoric, I think is just not the case. And I think that email was certainly problematic because throughout the day yesterday, Rob Axon changed his tune a bunch of times. First, he said he was talking to the legislators. They were telling him maps that they liked. Later in the day, he said he did not speak to them at all. And I think he also was trying to justify this by saying, no, it's about the urban and rural divide. When in reality, Map C is not the only map that has the urban-rural divide, and that was not referenced in the email. It was explicitly partisan, and for the Republican legislators to go forward with Map C, as it seems like they're going to do, I think they're showing their hand that this is not about process. This is not about, you know, trying to get the most fair maps. This is about them trying to follow the bare minimum and still give themselves a leg up.
Adam?
Which map do you like?
That's not for me to say. I don't have a strong preference. I like D, I like E, I like A, actually. I like a lot of them. Map C, I don't love. But I'm not in charge of the legislature.
So, and that's the thing. The legislature is in charge, and they actually are elected by the constituents. So if Rob Axon wants to call a legislator and ask him about a map or a preference, every legislator is allowed to have a preference as well. I know what really ticked me off is that when I kept trying to call legislators and get the ins and outs of the process and what type of data, no one would tell me anything. Mm-hmm. Like, no one
because
would tell me.
Because they didn't know or because they didn't want
no,
to talk about
No, because they said, we didn't go through any partisan data. We were prohibited to. We have an expert, a PhD in statistics that came through and helped us. And we weren't allowed to look at any of that data. And so we didn't. And I was like, no, but seriously, did you?
Yeah.
And I kept getting the same answer from every single legislator I talked to. That was encouraging to me.
But there
discouraging
has been
to me as a person.
There has been reporting on the partisan nature of the maps. And there's also been, you have to do a bias test.
Great.
Afterwards to decide if you damaged one party.
I
so
want
they
to,
know that.
I want to take a look at the Democrat map that was presented. And I don't know if we can pull that up. I can show it here on my phone here. And you can see how gerrymandered that is. It is cutting Eagle Mountain in half. It is cutting Saratoga Springs in half. It is cutting
Sundance. It has 13
Sundance.
City splits.
It cuts
right.
13 cities.
So, Gabby, how do you defend that map, or do you?
I'm not here to defend that map. That's not my map. It's not the map I would have drawn. But I think the point here is that I also think that we all understand the reality that we're living under, which is that no map that any Democrat presented was ever going to get serious consideration regardless. And I hear what you're saying, but I also want to push back a little bit because it's not like the legislators on this redistricting committee are in a sequestered jury type situation where they can't look at Twitter, where they can't look at the news, where they can't, you know, readily access the information to know what the likely breakdown is going to be of the district and what's going to be best for the Republican Party. And I think, you know, they could have kept up this facade as if they were going through this process in the normal way and that they just happened to like this one the best for, you know, X, Y, and Z reasons that have nothing to do with partisanship. But I don't think that that is reality, and I don't think that that is what was made clear yesterday in Axon's email, because he knows that they are paying attention to this too. And for him to try and rally support around the map right before they are going to vote on that map, I don't think is the most appropriate thing to do, but it is, you know, within his power to do that. But I think it's unrealistic to think that the Republican legislators don't have that information now.
Peter, sorry, Adam, before you go, Peter, while we're looking at the Democrats' map right here, can you pull up map C?
I'll whip that up.
Okay, Adam, I know you want to pick apart this map. Have at it.
There was a lot of rules that the judge gave that needed to be followed.
Prop 4.
It needed to follow Prop 4.
Correct, right.
And then the legislature put in other certain standards. We needed to keep, and these were also what MWEG, that Mormon Women for Ethical Government, all these other groups that came on board, they needed to keep communities of interest together. They needed to have an urban-rural split. You needed to have federal land and some urban areas in the district.
I don't know. That's
not a requirement. No, I'm saying the legislature added additional requirements in addition to what the judge said
in
on Prop 4.
In SB 200 or what?
Oh, I don't know where they put it.
That is not a requirement.
Legislature said that they wanted to follow these certain rules. They needed to follow Prop 4. They needed to have an urban-rural split and keep communities of interest together.
Okay, they may be saying that, but I don't know. Peter, you're going to have to fact check us here, but I don't think that's part of Prop 4's requirement.
No, but they also...
It's also not a codified requirement that the legislature
The judge threw all the codification stuff out the window when they came back and said that the legislature didn't follow the correct process and you have to redraw the maps in such a short amount of time. So normally we have this big drawn out public process, but the judge made it so quick that wasn't going to happen at all. So we got rid of our little public process, and the Democrats actually submitted the exact same map that they submitted years ago. Didn't change anything of it. Gerrymandered like crazy, splitting up communities of interest, and their own person that they hired on this process, their own consultant, has said in his papers that Utah wasn't gerrymandered at all, something that I think that the Democrats on the committees were not aware of. And so my whole point is the legislature has given us multiple maps that citizens can look at and communicate on. There would not be enough time if the legislature submitted one map that they liked that even if they received feedback, they would not be allowed to change at all in that 10-day period where you have to keep it open. They're not allowed to change that by law. So you have to have multiple options. The fact that legislators want one map over another is perfectly fine, and that's why we elect legislators, because they represent the people.
Gabby, final word here in our last minute.
Sure. If you want to go toe-to-toe on whose expert is more credible and which one has had their, you know, opinions gotten thrown out by multiple judges across the country, we can have that conversation. But I think this is not a requirement for them. There is no requirement for them to codify any sort of standards. It's to use multiple tests that make it the most fair. And I hear what you're saying, and that it is, you know, it's best for them or the one that they like the most, but then they should stop pretending like there's no partisan interest in this and stop lecturing the Democrats about outcomes versus process, because it's clear that the only thing that they're really concerned about, both from the state party and from the members of the legislature on the Republican side, is the outcome of keeping all 4 seats in Republican hands.
I will add that the judge did put in her ruling that there wasn't enough clarity on partisan symmetry, which is why the legislature is going back to clarify that. And I also have looked at that hierarchy of Prop 4, and it's my understanding, and Peter, if you want to add any facts in our last, 2 seconds, I know we have to wrap, but the hierarchy of Prop 4 starts with federal and constitutional rules and laws, followed by cities, keeping cities together, followed by keeping counties together, and then the other criteria follow after that. So that's my understanding of Prop 4.
The Democrats should have followed that on their map. Sorry.
The Democrats split a lot of cities. You're correct. They split a lot of cities. And the legislature has come up with their own definition of communities of interest, Adam, to your
point.
They are saying, here are the 4 criteria. It's like schools and
higher ed
and military installations, right? So the legislature has come up with their own definition of what they interpret as important communities of interest. We're going to leave it there with facts. You guys, this is the best episode today. I appreciate your debate and your opinions. Thank you for joining us today. And of course, you can watch Inside Utah Politics, which airs on Sunday at 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. on ABC4. And we will see you next time.